Let's pray. For another day, Lord, thank you. Thanks for giving us the opportunity to do something good for somebody else. Thanks for letting us come and worship. Have mercy, Lord. Have mercy. Pray for our troops and police and firefighters, EMS, all the folks who serve in that way, and then countless thousands who serve in other ways too. We're mindful of the loved ones, the families of these folks that are always away from home. And we all need your help, Lord. How about just for today, you'd let us know what your will is for us, and then you'd give us the power to do it. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Years ago, there was a guy on TV. Anyone ever seen The Tonight Show? Yeah. There was a guy who used to be on that named Johnny Carson. Ring a bell with anyone? I don't listen to the new guys very much because it's past my bedtime. You know, I got to floss my teeth and go to bed. One night, Johnny Carson is interviewing an 8-year-old kid. And the kid was there because he had rescued two of his buddies out of a coal mine from West Virginia. So their inner Johnny's interviewing him, and the kid's just into it. During the interview process, it becomes quite obvious to everyone in the audience and to Johnny that this 8-year-old's a Christian. So Johnny wisely asks him this question: "Hey, what are you learning in Sunday school?" "Last week," the kid said, "last week our lesson was about Jesus. He went to a wedding and he turned water into wine." Of course, the audience laughed, and Johnny tried to keep a straight face. And then Johnny asked this question: "And what did you learn from that story?" 8-year-old kid starts to squirm a little bit in his chair. He's going, "What did I learn?" Finally, he lifts up, I think this. When you're going to have a wedding, make sure you invite Jesus. That little boy was on to something, right? When you read the book I was taught decades ago, try to put yourself in the story. Where are you in the story at this wedding reception, right? Last week, context of this, right? It's, what are you looking for? These guys are following Jesus. What are you looking for? He says, where are you staying? Come and see. So they follow. Now it's 3 days later. This is that story before where Nathaniel wanted to know if anything good could come out of, you know, Nazareth. Come and see 3 days later now, and they're at a wedding reception. It only shows up in the Gospel of John, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John's a different duck, okay? Different gospel, a lot of symbolism. So we're going to spend the next 75 minutes on the symbolism that was these 11 verses. Put your seatbelt on. Here we go. So, it's about a lot of things. Has anyone ever been to a wedding reception? Show me a hand. Just make sure you're still awake. Yep. I was at your wedding. I remember that. Aren't those expensive? I mean, aren't those exciting? Yeah. Back then, when Jesus was there, weddings were week-long events, right? And hospitality was huge. Big, big deal. Remember that Hebrews, extend hospitality to strangers. By doing so, you have entertained angels without knowing it. Jesus' disciples and Jesus were invited, and guess who else was there? Jesus' mommy. I've been a fan of Mary since forever. We don't venerate Mary. I know all that stuff. But it's Jesus' mom. You don't pick on someone's mom. Come on. It's Jesus' mom. So the host runs out of wine, which is huge social blunder. Ooh. Fascinating conversation takes place between mom and Jesus. Did you notice that? Oh, we could spend hours just on that one verse. Mary looks and she's just so great. The faith and trust she has in her little boy is fantastic. Love it. Mary does what? She doesn't whine about the wine. She what? She points out the problem. She brings it to Jesus. Talk about trust. Because then she says what? Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. Mary takes the problem to Jesus before she took it to anybody else. Question, what is it about us that when we have a problem, it's almost as if prayer is the last place we go, as opposed to the first place we go? Is that something about us that says that maybe we think we're independent? We begin to think, well, I'm big enough, I'm adult enough, I can solve, I don't need any help, I need to solve my own problems. Guess what? We all need help. Some of us need help before we get out of bed. I got to surrender my will and my life over to the care of God every morning, or everyone notices. Or maybe it's not that we think we're independent. Maybe we think we're what? Insignificant. We think, well, sure, Mary is going to take her problems to Jesus. After all, it's Jesus's mom, right? Come on, she's going to listen to your mom. But he doesn't want to hear my problems. Come on. Besides, he's got worldwide issues to deal with. I don't want to trouble him with any of my messes. Jesus shows up in the ordinary, the everyday, with extravagance, above and beyond. He changes a bunch of water into a bunch of wine. Story is full of all sorts of different interpretations. Wedding reception, you see people at their finest and their happiness. I mean, it's just, oh. God shows up in the routine, daily life, the highs and the lows. God is with you. And talk about a good idea to take things to Jesus. Now, maybe he may not show up the way we want, in the way we want him to show up, with the kind of answer we want, but he always shows up with extravagant grace, all the way to the cross and back, to show us how much God loves us, accepts us, and forgives us. Let's go back to Mary for a few more hours. She speaks, and then she listens. Did you get that? Mary speaks, and then she listens. I think that's called what? Prayer and meditation. I think we're supposed to be listening, not just and then be on our way. To sit and listen. Mary brings what she perceives to be an issue, and she brings it to Jesus. And then says, do whatever he tells you. Where does this woman come from? Listen to Jesus. 6 water pots full of 30 gallons of water. Do you think Mary, when she was concerned and worried about the lack of wine, was thinking about 180 gallons worth of wine? That's about how many bottles? About 908. Who has 908 bottles of wine in their basement? Don't raise your hand. Wow. Fill them to the brim, all the way up to the top. Maybe a takeaway from this story is what? That maybe we can say that God's grace comes to us not just with an adequate supply, but with an abundance, an extravagance, an overflowing of grace. Maybe that's a takeaway. Someone shared this story in a different way. It's not in the Bible, but they told the story this way. In that story that they told, Mary never involved Jesus. She took the master of the host to task for poor planning. Of course, he took exception to that, and then what happens? Accusations, she gets angry, Mary storms out of the place. With that, the groom finds out what took place, overheard the argument, and the groom loses his temper, and the bride says, hey, let's forget this marriage right now. If you're getting angry over something like that, you're not going to be coming into my house, for crying out loud. By the end of the day, the guests have gone home, they're all sad, the marriage has ended before it began. And Jesus, he just shook his head and said, why didn't you ask? That version's not here. But the principles surely exist in our lives, don't they? We can only wonder, how many disasters would be averted if we would first, in faith, go to Christ Jesus? First. Take your problems to Jesus. Don't take them to the bar. Don't take it out on others. Temper tantrums never get anywhere, advance any causes. Take time. Next time you face calamity, remember that little boy from Johnny Carson. Invite Jesus. Or be like Mary. Identify the problem, present it to Jesus, and do what he says. Yeah, I can see it on your face. You say, yeah, Kurt, but if I do that, if I take my every problem to Jesus every time I have one, I'm going to be talking to Jesus all day long. Exactly. Have a glorious day. God bless you. It's so wonderful to worship with you. Please stand and sing loudly our closing hymn.